All right. Good morning. Good morning, beloveds. Are you able to hear me okay? Wonderful. Good morning. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for the introduction there this morning. I want to also welcome everyone into the sanctuary today. Here we are in still in September, but we are edging closer and closer to October as I speak here. So it's a pleasure to be here with you all today. This is not my normal slot for teaching, but I'm here and I'm happy to share with you all today, and I look forward to doing so. So at this time, I'm going to ask Lynn to play our opening song, and we will greet one another on the board this morning. So Lynn, if you would please play the opening song.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you so much for the opening song there, Lynn. Always good to see everyone speaking and saying hello in the room. I think that's one of my favorite parts outside of the actual teaching. All right, so let's move on now to our statement of purpose. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so that we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. That is our statement of purpose here at Awakening Together. And that brings me right up to our announcements for this week. And we do have a few announcements. So So first up, as you may have heard, we are closing on our retreat house in La Vida, Colorado, this coming Friday, October 5th. Cheryl Kaplan is moving from the position of Assistant Sanctuary Director to Retreat House Caregiver. The leadership team and the Board of Directors have decided not to hire a new Assistant Sanctuary Director to replace Cheryl. So we will reduce our sanctuary open hours from around 30 hours per week to around 20 hours per week. Beginning in November, last Wednesday, Ken mailed a survey to all of our current sanctuary speakers. The leadership team will use the information provided through that survey to design a new sanctuary schedule. If you are a speaker in the sanctuary, please fill out the survey by noon Eastern or 11 a.m. Pacific on Tuesday of this week. If you are a speaker in the sanctuary and you didn't receive a survey, please email Ken at awakeningtogethersanctuary@gmail.com and ask for a copy of the email with the survey link. And thank you for your participation in that survey. Next up, the Awakening Together Italy pilgrimage is coming up soon. And I'm sure those of you who are going are getting excited because so many members of Awakening Together are going on the pilgrimage, including some staff and sanctuary speakers. The sanctuary will be closed during the pilgrimage. The sanctuary will be closed from Thursday, October 18th through Saturday, November 3rd. We will reopen on Sunday, November 4th at 9:15 a.m., which is 6:15 Pacific. We expect to begin our new reduced sanctuary schedule when we reopen after the pilgrimage. So keep your eyes open for an announcement about the new sanctuary schedule. That announcement will come out via daily update as soon as the new schedule is confirmed. Next, we have our next announcement. Join us in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern for the movie discussion group. Tonight, we will discuss Brother Sun, Sister Moon, which is about St. Francis of Assisi. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you can watch it this afternoon. It is available for rent on YouTube for only $2.99. Next, if you are going on the Italy pilgrimage, please remember that the Travelers Meeting is scheduled for next Sunday, October 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is a mandatory meeting for all Italy travelers, and it will be recorded just in case you can't make it to the live meeting. The travel agent is providing Regina with important information which will be shared at this meeting. So be sure to come and listen Sunday or catch the audio as soon as possible after it's posted. All right, that does conclude our announcements. And indeed, you all are getting very close. I'm not going on the Italy pilgrimage, but I will do plan on joining the Facebook page that Regina has set up to follow all of the excitement and watch you all. And I just know it's going to be fabulous. So, yes. All right. So that does conclude our announcements for this week. I'm going to ask Lynn to play another song for us. And I will rejoin us shortly here with an opening prayer. So, Lynn, this mic is yours.
Come to the table. Come to the feast. Come be a giver of the grace. Come as a lover. Come as a friend. Come join the joy that will not end. As you sow, you shall reap. If it's love, you would keep. If it's love for which you live, and love you must give. Come join the living, come as you are, come for a moment, come to stay. Some come by fire, some by flood, but love, it's all the same. Come be free. Come and see. Come with me. To the pasture green. By a quiet stream, with a heart serene, come to me.
All right, thank you so much for that song, Lynn. And if you all would join me for prayer now. So as that song was playing, there was one thought that came to mind, and that was that the greatest commandment that Jesus ever gave was that we love one another as we love ourselves. That love is the key and most important ingredient. It's the only thing that really truly matters in this world. So as I share today about judgment, replacing judgment with love, I just ask that the message is clear, that there is no doubt about the place in which judgment has for any of us. I offer my deepest gratitude for the opportunity to be here to share, to share in my own experience, to sit in this energy of connectedness, togetherness, and love. I'm grateful for all of the people who work to make sure that Awakening Together is running smoothly and perfectly. I pray for traveling mercies and for everyone who will be going on the Italy pilgrimage, that you all would have a wonderful, blessed time there. So again, as we look today at judgment and the role that it plays in our lives on a regular basis, I just pray that the message is received with the same exact energy that it was given. And see this, and so I let it be. Amen. All right. So today we will be talking, as I mentioned there, in the prayer about judgment. Today's reading is actually from the teacher's manual of A Course in Miracles. It is relinquishing. How is judgment relinquished? Is the question. How do we relinquish this idea, this tendency to be judgmental? So my reader for today is Reverend Doreen Bonnet. I'm going to ask her to come forward now and read for us, How is Judgment Relinquished? Doreen, this mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Great. Thank you, Reverend Gloria, and what a beautiful prayer. As Reverend Gloria mentioned, this is from the Teacher's Manual of A Course in Miracles, and the title of this reading is called, How is Judgment Relinquished? Judgment, like other devices by which the world of illusions is maintained, is totally misunderstood by the world. It is actually confused with wisdom and substitutes for truth. As the world uses the term, an individual is capable of good and bad judgment, and his education aims at strengthening the former and minimizing the latter. There is, however, considerable confusion about what these categories mean. What is good judgment to one is bad judgment to another. Further, even the same person classifies the same action as showing good judgment at one time and bad judgment at another time. Nor can any consistent criteria for determining what these categories are be really taught. At any time, the student may disagree with what his would-be teacher says about them, and the teacher himself may well be inconsistent in what he believes. Good judgment, in these terms, does not mean anything. No more does bad. It is necessary for the teacher of God to realize, not that he should not judge, but that he cannot. In giving up judgment, he is merely giving up what he did not have. He gives up an illusion, or better, he has an illusion of giving up. He has actually merely become more honest. Recognizing that judgment was always impossible for him, he no longer attempts it. This is no sacrifice. On the contrary, he puts himself in a position where judgment, through him rather than by him, can occur. But this judgment is neither good nor bad. It is the only judgment there is, and it is only one. God's Son is guiltless, and sin does not exist. The aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is the recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. This is not an opinion, but a fact. In order to judge anything rightly, one would have to be fully aware of an inconceivably wide range of things, past, present, and to come. One would have to recognize in advance all the effects of his judgments on everyone and everything involved in them in any way. And one would have to be certain there is no distortion in his perception, so that his judgment would be wholly fair to everyone on whom it rests now and in the future. Who is in a position to do this? Who, except in Dio's fantasies, would claim this for himself? Remember how many times you thought you knew all the facts you needed for judgment, and how wrong you were. Is there anyone who has not had this experience? Would you know how many times you merely thought you were right without ever realizing you were wrong? Why would you choose such an arbitrary basis for decision making? Wisdom is not judgment. It is the relinquishment of judgment. Make then but one more judgment. It is this: there is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. He does know all the facts, past, present, and to come. He does know all the effects of his judgment on everyone and everything involved in any way. And he is wholly fair to everyone, for there is no distortion in his perception. Therefore, lay judgment down, not with regret, but with a sigh of gratitude. Now are you free of a burden so great that you could merely stagger and fall down beneath it. And it was all illusion, nothing more. Now can the teacher of God rise up unburdened and walk lightly on. Yet it is not only this that is his benefit. His sense of care is gone, for he has none. He has given it away along with judgment. He gave himself to him whose judgment he has chosen now to trust instead of his own. Now he makes no mistakes. His guide is sure. And where he came to judge, he comes to bless. Where now he laughs, he used to come to weep. It is not difficult to relinquish judgment, but it is difficult indeed to try to keep it. The teacher of God lays it down happily the instant he recognizes its cost. All of the ugliness he sees about him is its outcome. All of the pain he looks upon is its result. All of the loneliness and sense of loss of passing time and growing hopelessness of sickening despair and fear of death, all these have come it. And now he knows that these things need not be. Not one is true. For he has given up their cause, and they, which never were but the effects of his mistake choice, have fallen from him. Teacher of God, this step will bring you peace. Can it be difficult to want but this? Letting go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Doreen, for reading that passage perfectly for us there. All right. So I do want to share with you all the core value, the Awakening Together core value that this sharing will hopefully highlight here. And it's core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. That is core value number 5. And you can find those, our core values, out on our website there. All right, so let's unpack this judgment thing a little bit. The reading that Doreen just read for us. You know, I actually want to touch on for a moment the subject that I spoke about the last time that I actually had the opportunity to share with you all. That particular subject really helped me be a lot more accepting, more open and loving with myself and others. And in case you don't recall, or you weren't here for our last, for the last time I spoke, I shared, my topic was 6 seconds, and I talked about the invisible hand that's consistently offering us the options that we have to choose from, and the fact that it really can be no other way. For me, that particular, as I mentioned, that really helped me to open more and let go of the subtle tendency to worry about what's happening or what's not happening in my life. That topic also explained why the personality doesn't disappear when awakening occurs. You know, that's been a fairly, I've known that, learned that quite early on in this whole evolution and spiritual process, that the personality doesn't disappear. So learning that those prompts are to us, that it just shed a great deal of light for me, and it was very helpful for me. So as I was preparing for this particular talk, it was almost as if the universe was like, okay, yes, we've talked about worry, we've learned about that, now let's move to judgment. The way things unfold for me is really, you know, it's really laughable. I'm laughing, but it's really an amazing process. It really is. So as I began to look at this topic of judgment now, You know, and I'm understanding that it's time to get more clear at this point about what judgment is. Again, this low lying, none of the things that I'm coming across lately in terms of my learning, my growth, it's not things that are big and blaring. It's those low lying things, the things that can really go unnoticed. They're pointed out to you in some way. So as I began to get more clear here on judgment, I was writing about it. I've recently submitted an article for our newsletter about judgment. And then I've come across these experiences that I've had the opportunity to really look at judgment. You know, I can recall being a part of MPP a few years ago and learning that I had to let go of everything I knew, you know. And I remember thinking then, okay, I'm not sure how I'll ever be able to function in the world that I live in by letting go of everything that I know. But I'm telling you, over the years, that's exactly what's happened. You have to let go of what you think is the right way, or the proper way will never show up for you. So that's what this process has been about. But as the years have progressed with my spiritual evolution, I've definitely learned that it's not only possible to live without these concepts of worrying and judgment, it's really imperative that we do so. It's very important that we look at those subtle, nuanced aspects of awakening. Now, as I looked at, as I mentioned, I was looking at it, reading about it, writing about it, quite naturally the experience had to come in to show me, or for me to work with, in other words. Something had to come in for me to work with this whole letting go. And undoubtedly, something did come in. There's a particular storyline in the news right now. And, you know, this is a fairly sensitive, I think, subject, and it's one that I actually went back and forth on for a moment before deciding that I would even speak about this because of the sensitive nature. But what I noticed is when I started to waver on whether or not I'd speak about this, it showed up, you know, like I'd pick up a book, turn on my computer, it's right there. I mean, I couldn't get away from this particular topic. So I knew it was something that I needed to speak about. And the topic that I'm referring to now is the story in the news concerning the Catholic Church. The scandals that have broke in the news concerning widespread abuses, sexual abuses, misconduct on the behalf of priests, pastors, or bishops. I'm not sure exactly what they're called other than priests. But when this story broke, when the first hearing, I guess, that I had of the story was a while, it wasn't like within the last weeks. I've heard of this story before. But now it's out, it's in the news, it's being talked about. Things are being done to hopefully correct that. Needless to say, there was an immense amount of judgment that came up with this topic for me. Immense. I mean, I can't explain the... And I knew, you know, from very early on, seeing that being a young child and my first experience of seeing their ceremonies, there was just the, you know, it brought up so much for me that, you know, I really had to sit with this topic. I really did. Because there was so much anger and so much judgment that God's, you know, the God is in this, you know, in this diabolical thing, you know, and I was really, really bothered by this for days, honestly, and you probably can tell by the way I'm speaking now. So again, there was this need for me to really look at judgment, and that's what brought me to the reading that I've just read here, or that Jordrine just read for us. Now, the foundation, again, I was already looking at judgment when this thing, you know, this huge came out. And I'm thinking to myself now, how exactly do we overlook this? How, you know, I'm asking myself this, how is this something that can be overlooked? And I want to refer back to the reading for today. The reading for today, the very first line in today's reading was that judgment is something that's completely misunderstood. It's actually confused with wisdom and substitutes for truth, right? I read over this particular several times. I wanted to get the absolute, I wanted to get the meat from this particular reading so that I could truly let go of the judgments that I knew I had about the Catholic Church prior to that release of information, but certainly after it, it just created a fire in me, really. And what I learned here from reading this particular reading, as well as everything I've learned, really, there's this compounding effect. You know, you don't, everything comes in that you know when something like this, when you're really looking at something like this with Holy Spirit, really looking and wanting to see this differently, really having a sincere desire, an honest willingness to see this differently. And so as I did that, I, again, getting back to the reading today, one of the things that reading says is that there's only one judgment to be had, and that is God's Son is guiltless and sin does not exist. So in order for me to rightly judge the Catholic Church or any other being, I would have to be aware of so many things. I mean, it's impossible. What this reading did was help me to really realize it's impossible. It's not that I can't judge. It's that it's truly impossible for me to judge anyone or anything because I don't know this wide range of things, past, present, and to come. I don't know the effects of my judgments on everything and everyone and everything. And the most important part for me and what I was able to really use is that there is no distortion in your perception. So that's a right-minded, if you're looking at or being used to look at something, then there has to be no distortion whatsoever in your perception. That line right there is really where I was able to let go because I knew there was distortion in my perception. I've never gone to a Catholic church. I've never sat in on a ceremony. So there's no way I could have a clear, perfect perception of that group. Impossible. So, again, seeing the impossibility of judgment, how impossible it is to really judge something, was helpful here in letting go of this judgment. Now, there's also another area here in, let me go back to it, the reading here. You know, what I know is over, after, as I began to read this and apply specifically to what I was judging, because there's an abstract that I've, you know, when I'm looking at it, if something is not up for me in that moment, it becomes very abstract. So I was very grateful that Holy Spirit, I knew, was working with me on this topic, helping me to look at this more closely. Again, this was not a judgment that was always in my face every single day. You know, I didn't think about this topic daily or, you know, rarely, really, I thought about this. So it's as if there's a deeper of healing occurring in my life, because things that are under the surface, things that are hidden. As I recall, I think that title of this particular sharing, Skeletons, Letting Go. I don't have the title right here in front of me, but it was something about letting go of skeletons. Looking at this deeper layer of things that are not so visible, you know, to me on a daily basis. So again, over the course of several days after I began to really look closely at this belief, this judgment that I had, and the fact that it was in the news was amplifying my judgments. I mean, it just made it very, very clear that I was holding a great deal of judgment towards the situation. So over the course of several days, what showed up to remind me, what really became painstakingly clear to me, was that there was a very clear connection or belief here in this flesh. You know, this is the thing that we all work towards in letting go of, believing that we are this body, believing that we are the flesh. But as time went on, I really, that became like the judgment thing kind of, I don't want to say fell to the side, but it was sidetracked a bit, and I focused more on the belief in this body, the belief that I'm flesh, and that every other brother that I encounter is flesh. 98% of my worldly experience has been based in and from the flesh. So it's not that I'm judging myself for having this belief. I'm not. But there's a clear and present desire to release this belief, because I know that without that belief that I'm a body, you're a body, he's a body, she's a body, without that belief, there can be no mistakes about what is real and what is illusion. Which gets into that level confusion thing, placing value on the valueless, placing meaning on that which is truly meaningless. Ordering our thoughts. This thing is good, that thing is bad, that person's nice, this person not so much. That split mind separating me from my brother is where this whole illusionary sense of sin, the illusionary sense of judging another, comes from. Now, going back to today's reading, there's a paragraph there that says the aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is the recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. This is not an opinion, but a fact. In order to judge anything rightly, one would have to be fully aware of an inconceivably wide range of things, past, present, and to come. One would have to recognize in advance all the effects of his judgments on everyone, everything involved in them in any way. And one would have to be certain that there is no distortion in his perception so that his judgment would be wholly fair to everyone in whom it rests now and in the future. Who's in a position to do this? Who beneath the sound of my voice is in a position to do this? Who except in grandiose fantasies could claim this for himself? So again, what really became evident to me was that the belief that I am this body, that split mind way of thinking, is what really was being called to look at here. You know, one could say that the moral of this story is that the universe has a very profound way of bringing things that are hidden away in our subconscious, impacting our evolution, really having an impact on how quickly we evolve. It has a way of bringing these things into view for our acceptance, for our reckoning, and ultimately for our healing. Now, have I been healed from these long-standing judgments that I've held about Catholicism, about the church? Have I been healed of those beliefs? Of the belief that I'm a person? Now, if I'm being honest with myself, which is also, by the way, another critical ingredient on this path, this evolutionary path of awakening, a critical ingredient to that awakening is being honest with yourself, first and foremost, because there's only one of us here. Who else would you be honest with? So if I were being honest with that, and I do strive to do just that, I'd have to say, no, not healed. There are still some residual judgments here about the use of God's name in such a diabolical way. But I'm aware of the error in my judgments. I'm aware of the beliefs that I'm holding on to that cause me to suffer. And I'm willing to let that go. This is the ground. This prepares the ground for that peace of God, that healing grace in and do the work. I'm not responsible for healing myself. I don't have the capacity, the resources, I'm not responsible for healing that judgment. What I am responsible for is becoming aware of that judgment and offering my willingness to see it differently, handing it over to the Holy Spirit. Because as this reading also pointed out here, that there is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. He does know all the facts, present, past, and to come. He does know all the effects of his judgment judgments on everyone and everything involved in any way. And he is wholly fair to everyone, for there's no distortion in his perception. You see, that is the goal, to give that over to the Holy Spirit, who does know. Because I don't. I don't know the effects of my judgments. I know that my perception is distorted. So that's not the goal for me to heal what's, you know, the judgments that I have, the beliefs that I have. But again, healed, no. Willing, yes. You know, that is the groundwork that Holy Spirit will take, because I'm certain, right? I didn't bring this topic to myself. It goes back to what I led out with. There is an invisible hand responsible for providing me the promptings that are available to me, the options that I have available to me. So I didn't bring this into my awareness. You know, it was brought into my awareness to help me to see that I'm still holding on to beliefs that will hinder me on this path. So what is there for me to do except be grateful, right? There's no judgment. I'm not judging myself or double dosing, as Regina would say. I'm not double dosing on judgment here. Not judging myself for having judged the Catholic Church. What I'm much more willing to do is to relinquish that judgment. And understand that from a perspective that, you know, I'm not this body, which is the truth. You know, that has to be the foundation. If it is, then you're willing to look at it differently. You're willing to see it differently. And you're willing to let go. Right? So the main thing here for me, again, is really seeing that once I was really looking at this tendency to judge, or not necessarily the tendency to judge, because I must say, I absolutely must say, because again, I'm in being honest with myself, I know that there has been a significant amount of growth within me when it comes to judging. I'm no longer quick to judge a person for a thing that they're doing. I'm also much less quick to be judgmental of myself for anything. So I know that there's been a great deal of healing around judgment, but I also know that there's still this belief that in the body, in the flesh. And as a result, I still experience judgment. I still experience these things that, you know, we would want to completely let go on this spiritual path. But I'm very compassionate with myself on this topic. And I pray that anyone else who's having issues with judging things will also be compassionate with themselves on this topic. This is how healing occurs. So I do want to go to today's reading. There is one other passage that I wanted to touch on again here. And that is this: it is not difficult to relinquish judgment, but it is difficult indeed to try to keep it. The teacher of God lays it down happily the instant he recognizes its cost. All of the ugliness he sees about him is its outcome. All of the pain he looks upon is its results. All of the loneliness and sense of loss, of passing time and growing hopelessness, of sickening despair and fear of death, all of these have come from it. Do you see that? Do you see the connection that all of the things that they just, that was just mentioned here, the sense of loss, hopelessness, sickening despair, fear of death, all of that comes from not relinquishing judgment, not letting go of that. And that judgment is the cause, you know, and the effect of mistaken choice. So I'm really, really quite grateful for this teaching. I'm really extraordinarily grateful for the fact that I saw this judgment. When I saw the story that I saw, no lie, it was initially the anger hit me right away. I mean, just boom, there it is. But as I allowed that to wash over me, to feel that anger, to feel the judgment, really, is what it was. To feel the anger, to feel that judgment, then I was in a much better position to look at this closely with Holy Spirit to help me to move beyond that. Because you see, I'm not interested in judging the Catholic Church. I'm not interested in judging anyone, including myself. And Holy Spirit knows. So this had to be brought to my attention. It's not something I'm choosing to hold on to here. And that's the way this thing has worked for me. Wherever there has been a sincere desire to release or let go of things that are no longer serving me, undoubtedly that thing will come up. Undoubtedly I'll be given the resources and the help that I need to move past it, which is why I remain eternally grateful for the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, all of it. I'm not the body. I am indeed free. And the more I let go of this line of thinking, the more that is realized, experienced. Right? So I do feel complete with what I wanted to share today about judgment. I'm reminded now again of something that I said during prayer. Love is all there is. And the more I'm willing to truly accept that, to truly allow that to live and lead me on in this life, the more peaceful, the more happy, the more joyous I become. All right, so I'm going to ask now that Cheryl post a link in the room that so anyone who desires to make a donation to Awakening Together, you will have the opportunity to do that using the link below or in the chat room there, or whenever she puts it in there. I'm also going to ask Lynn to play us a song to contemplate what I've shared today. All right, so Lynn, I'm going to release this to you and love to you all.
Judgment, and after all the fear, beyond the shoulds and shouldn'ts that I wish I couldn't hear, there's a place my thoughts and words and actions, and I just disappear, and there is only love. Till I shake apart, lying on the floor. No matter how God answers me, I'm always asking more. So I empty out my heart of every question till I'm sure that there is only love. It seems so simple. How do we get so far away? It's always right there, but I can't seem to make it stay right when I get it. It's like it starts to slip away till I don't remember that if I strip away the anger that I never showed you, for everything I wished that you would be and say and do, well, there's only one thing left, and that's still worth holding on to. 'Cause when I dive below the ocean of everything that went wrong, there is only love. There is only
Thank you so much, Lynn. Absolutely, there is only love. And thank you, Iris, for posting the serenity prayer in the chat room. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Absolutely. That is a perfect prayer for what was just shared here. And if anyone else would like to share, now is the time for you to do so. So you, if you want to share, you can raise your hand. And I see Reverend Jay has his hand up, so I'm going to release the mic to him.
Thank you, Gloria. That was an awesome service and a great teaching on judgment. You know, I thought it was so complimentary with something I've been recently studying in NTI. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I was just going to read this real quick and tie in a recent experience I've had. This is verses 6 through 9. Judgment is the tool of illusion, because judgment makes real and separates. Judgment distracts from truth of your experience by focusing your mind on the prop of the world. When you are focused on the prop, you are not within the throes of the experience. In this way, the question that is asked remains unanswered. Judgment is a distractor because it denies who you are and it denies what you do. And here's the key sentence. Judgment makes real the false. Course in Miracles talks about everything we see is an illusion, and that judgment, here it's following up with the teaching, judgment, which is exactly what Gloria was teaching us about wonderfully, is that that is what makes it real. When I add the judgment about what I see going on in the Catholic Church, that's what makes it real. That's what then brings in the anger and the blame. And then notice your judgment and lay it aside, that you may remember yourself and be within the experience. You know, and recently I had an experience that was triggered. A great hurt came up for me. And initially I went into some, like, anger and blame, but that for a very short time, because it was very timely, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 3 for me, because I was able to actually completely let go of the judgment of the person that triggered it and everything associated with the situation. And I've never been able to do that before. This was probably the first time I actually pulled that off, where I genuinely let it go and could focus on and be in the true throes of the really pleasant experience of feeling the hurt. I felt it fully. I committed to doing that and I did it. And I just allowed myself to have the raw experience of the hurt. And this was option 3 for the tip that's associated with this, which is you can just simply have the experience with the awareness and not have the judgment. And the only reason I give to how I was even able to do that was through the consistent daily practice that I've been doing. I think that's the only way I could do that. My mind would have been too out of control to actually let myself have the experience. And what's more is the teaching talks about, you know, we have such unlimited freedom as choosers, as this creative principle that we are. We're literally having the experience we asked for. So why not just go ahead and feel it? I know it's horribly unpleasant. Well, I shouldn't say horribly. Horribly is a judgment. It was very unpleasant, you know, intensely unpleasant. If whatever the experience is for me, it was, and I know it has nothing to do with the situation that triggered it. It was in me already in the mind, stored from other stuff in the past or whatever. So I had to be with it, and it felt really good to just be with it as long as it was there. And then after a while, it did just left. And we're taught that that's what salvation is that we realize we face the fear, we go through it, we experience it, and we realize we weren't destroyed. We weren't wiped out by letting ourselves go. The experience that comes from, you know, releasing the judgment. I mean, obviously, I had put some past judgment on something in myself that brought up this hurt, right? And therefore, I believed it at that time and then repressed it, shoved it down, and then now other things trigger it. I mean, you guys all know the drill. I mean, this is just repeating things you already know. But it was neat to actually practice it. You know, we only get through our fears is our salvation. We can't, you know, we have to face those judgments and then talk and then, you know, let them go. But then actually feel. I mean, we're supposed to feel it. You know, whether it's intense pleasure or pain or whatever, we got to feel it because that's what we wanted to do. I wanted to feel it. You know, just like that song that Lynn played, you know, all the anger I never showed you. You got to feel what's coming up without judgment, and then it can heal. And then hold the hand of God, hold the hand of Jesus, you know, Christ, Buddha, hold the hand of Allah, whatever, and let it just move through you and be, like it says here in NTI, in the throes of the experience, the throes. And that's what we're all afraid of. People don't want to go through the throes of the experience. They're afraid of fear. They're afraid of going through that uncomfortableness. They think it's going to destroy them. So it's kind of a vicious cycle, right? So I was just excited that, you know, it was unpleasant to face that in myself, but ultimately it was a gift, you know, and it's neat that I was able to do that. So giving up the mic.
All right. Thank you so much, Reverend Jay, and for that, for adding that. It's absolutely true what you were saying there. We the judgment is what makes it real. And the thing is, we were trained to do this. We learned that, as the reading from today says, that we strengthen what we think is good, and we avoid the bad. Or we minimize bad judgment, and all of that absolutely makes this body and everything real. You know, you're absolutely right. It was the judgment that I had that fueled the realism for it, which just it is very, very true. Let me see if we have anyone else who wants to speak here. Oh, it looks like Jay, you still have your hand up. All right, so I'm going to go ahead. Oh, okay. You don't. Does someone else want to speak here? I thought I saw someone else's hand up. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close today's gathering out. If you'd like, you're welcome to stick around. I do believe we're still doing fellowship time. Cheryl, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm going to also ask Lynn to play. Yes, we are still doing fellowship hour. So if you'd like to stay over and share further, you're absolutely welcome to do that. At this time, I'm going to ask Lynn to play us a closing song to close out today's gathering. So Lynn, this mic is yours.
Every picture has its shadows, and it has some source of light. Blind us outside. The perils of factors, the blessings of parasites. Blindness, and sad. Threatened by old things, devil of cruelty, drawn to all things, devil of the light, mythical devil of the ever-present laws, governing blindness, and sight, sentence and reservation, dining rooms, pale miners in their lantern rays, night and day. Hosted smile and presidents, freedom scribble in the subway. It's like night and day. Night and day. Threatened by old things, God of cruelty, to all things, God of the light, mythical God of the everlasting laws, governing day and night, day and night. Critics of all express.
question, don't it seem black and white? Sing it's wrong, sing it's right. Compelled by prescribed standard, or some ideals we fed for wrong, wrong and right. For wrong, wrong and right. Written by old things, men of cruelty, drummed to old things, men of the light, men of the laws, the ever broken laws. Governing wrong, wrong and right, wrong, wrong and right, governing wrong, wrong and right, wrong and right, wrong and right.